hold this, I think, and then it won't matter where I stand. I'm not going to move about too much, but I need to keep referring to my notes because I don't want to lose anything here and get off on a tangent, because I know what I'm meant to share, so I want to share it. And I'm struggling. I was struggling when I've been preparing to thin it down and thin it down. So please bear with me. Morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, so good to be among you. What a wonderful time of worship. Almost it's like follow that, really. But I am going to follow it as best I can. I have a word that I believe God wants me to share. And that word is, and the wonderful lady upstairs is going to put the words on the screen, you must be born again.
Whoa.
Those are the words, Jesus' words, I have to say, that I feel I'm meant to share with you this morning. And it's this morning for me is firstly it's a testimony of my thankfulness, and to give praise and glory to God for his faithfulness to me and to Howard over 40 years, because I've been in this church 30 years, but I've been a Christian 40 years, and I was born again 40 years ago. And in all that time, God has just, well, he's just been so faithful, what can I say? So before we go any further, let's pray. Father God, I want to pray for these guys this morning. I want to pray for myself. I want to say that you want people to grasp something. If they've missed this, you must be born again. You want us to grasp it, and you want to run with it, Lord, because you say you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you're born again. And Lord, we want to see that glorious kingdom of heaven that we've been singing about this morning. So come, Lord, I pray. Have your way on us. Amen. So I'm going to start with the scripture. Always good to start with Jesus' words rather than your own. I'm just reading the first seven verses of John chapter 3. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader, who was a Pharisee. And I'm reading from my translation, so it may not say exactly. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. Rabbi, he said, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. And Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. What do you mean? Exclaimed Nicodemus. How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again? And Jesus replied, I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can produce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. Amen. So, a bit of a personal history. Dave's covered some of it, and I don't want to repeat. But some of you lovely people here I know really, really well. We've been together working for the gospel for much of the 30 years I've been here. Some of you longer than others. And that's great. It's great that I don't know every one of you here, and I haven't hardly spoken to some of you. But that's great, because it means that we're getting new people in every week. We're getting new people in, and that's great. So it's wonderful that I don't know you all. I hope to get to know everybody, because I hope you're staying with us. However, like I've said, some of us have worked together for a long time, and I know you very well. In this time, I have worn various caps. like Dave said, we started off worship leading, which was such a blessing. We've done Alpha, we've done teaching at Pimble from one end of the scale to the other, from teaching with the old people who live in Pimble in Selby. Teaching and worship, we used to do church with them every week. Just a really faithful group of people used to come along with Howard and I, and Howard used to bring the keyboard and we used to sing. And we had such a good time with those guys, and we saw fruit over those years. 8 years, I think, we were there. And so that's a brief history, not to mention we're cell group leading now to a most wonderful cell, so they don't hardly take any leading because they're absolutely fabulous. So I must go back to Jesus' words, "You must be born again." And that happened to me nearly 40 years ago when I was just your regular churchgoer, but beginning to realise that there had to be more to Creator God, and in all that happened with Jesus, than just a week by week repeating of words at a service. There had to be more. If God was Creator God, the King of the universe, we sung about it this morning, there had to be more than I knew of him, and there had to be more than was having an impact in my life at that time. And just at that time, through the ministry of some lovely spirit-filled people who began to hold a course and teach us, I was encouraged to pray and repent and ask Jesus into my life, what is often tagged the sinner's prayer. I'll come back to that. And these wonderful faithful people, these wonderful spirit-filled people, this lady, she was the vicar's wife, Rosemary, I'll never forget it. She just looked at me one day and she said, "This is what you need to do, Janet." And she gave me this prayer. She didn't say it with me, she just left it with me. And that night I prayed it, and I thought, no bells and whistles. So then following light, I prayed it again. But I have to tell you that Jesus came into my life powerfully over the next few days and weeks. I was like, well, I was a different person. I was walking on air, I was skipping everywhere. In my spirit, if not actually, although I probably could skip in those days. And so, you know, Jesus just came in and released me into that, into knowing, into this kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven opened up to me. And it was because I prayed with my heart. And we'll get back to that. So about 4 weeks ago now, we're fast forwarding 40 years. And I'm standing here sharing this with you this morning now for this specific reason God seems to have asked me to share it. About 4 weeks ago now, we were having our last cell meeting before the school holidays, and right at the end of the meeting while we were praying, I was aware of the Holy Spirit speaking. Kind of, he was alerting me, and he was saying, when you were born again, you had it all released over you. All of it. All of it. And he was emphasizing it. The kingdom of heaven. It had all been released over me, and has been for that 40 years since. And I can't say it any other way because that's the truth. It has been that 40 years since. And all God's promises of forgiveness, of peace, of joy, his help and provision, his power and authority, his kindness, his love, his mercy, and you could just go on, couldn't you? But crucially, knowing. This is so important. Crucially knowing, always to bow to all his authority. Doesn't mean I haven't had struggles and with sin and difficult situations. Of course, it's 40 years. We've had my struggles. It doesn't mean I haven't had those. But what it does mean is I'm born again, and everything is tackled from a wholly different perspective. Ever since that prayer 40 years ago, that's how powerful it was. And as I said, I'll come back to that. And it's all because Jesus has forgiven us as I repented of my sin and asked him into my life, crucially to be Lord of my life, has meant I don't battle. I don't battle with my own will against his will, my thoughts against his revealed truth in the Word, in the Bible. It meant, as the kingdom of heaven opened up, it became about his will, about learning to respond quickly and waiting on him. And I have to tell you this because it's really true. That approach has saved me a lot of aggro over the years. Right from that 40-year prayer, it saved me a lot of aggro, a lot of places I didn't need to go, things I didn't need to be. So I'm just really praising God this morning for all that. So that was on the Thursday evening 4 weeks ago. And then on the Sunday morning, it was 4 weeks ago, so we were having lunch again next door 4 weeks ago. So it was just the Sunday after that Thursday, straight away. I was sat quietly after the end of the service. We'd had a good time, of course, as usual, and I became really aware of all the life and colour around me. There was such a lot of life and colour around me. It was really lovely, but I have to say, I felt colourless. I felt colourless. That was the word that came into my mind, colourless. And time doesn't allow me to go into the whole background of how I arrived there at that particular Sunday morning. So just a brief telling, mostly as testimony of how kind our God is, how kind he is to come in at just the right moment. And he's been doing that all my life, coming in at just the right moment with a word of encouragement, a word of to just spur me on when I needed it. And the key thing is, you have to listen to that word and you have to respond to it. You can't say, well, that's all right for you to say, but there's no buts. God says it, that's it, end of. And so that's how I felt. I felt colourless. A few reasons for that. I don't think I can go into it. If you want to know, you can come and talk to me afterwards. Part of it, just I had to give up. We've had to give up our camping just lately because our bodies are giving us up. And we felt, if you know us, you know we've been absolute camping idiots over the last, 17 years. We've loved it. We didn't start till, how old was he? In his 60s, wasn't he, when we started camping? And we just love it. I love being in the outdoors. I've always been an outdoor person. I've got a bit of gypsy in my soul, so the camping, I guess, helped that. And so I was just in that season of thinking, this camping has gone. And it was making me sad, really. On the Saturday before the Sunday, we just packed up the tent, we packed it down, we cleaned it, and ready to sell. So if you want a tent, you know where to come. And we have to come to terms with different seasons in our lives, don't we? And God always is going to say something and do something in it. If the kingdom of heaven is open to you through being born again, God will always come. He'll never leave you. He'll always say something to you. The key is to hear it and obey it and listen to it and not look back. Really important for us. So also, we're moving house after 54 years in the same house in Carlton. We're moving into town, if it ever gets built, that is, into a new apartment here in Selby. We're future-proofing, as my son calls it, future-proofing, so that we can just be independent more in our lives. We haven't got to worry so much about looking after the garden, and we'll have less space to have to look after. And so that's where we are now, and that's a bit of an adjustment too, I may say, and we haven't even got there yet. I know when we get there, it'll be a massive adjustment. I've never lived in town, never wanted to. But God is saying different, so there you go. I really feel he's in this, and although we've had backwards on our apartment, length of time waiting for it to be ready, I feel it's right. We feel it's right, don't we? And so we go in. And later in the day, I was contemplating this word, colourless. It might have been the next day, but I actually think it was the same day, that Sunday. And the Holy Spirit just alerted me again. And he said words. He said these wonderful, beautiful words from the end of the parable of the sun. And it's going to come on screen, but I can't possibly go through it all and all the teaching that comes from the parable of the sun. If you know the parable well, which many of you will, you'll know it's about the younger son who wanted his inheritance. He went off squandering it and ended up in a right state, true to say. And then he came back to his father and he said, I'm going to go back to my father and I'm going to repent and say, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. I've sinned against heaven. And that's what happened. And of course, I don't know what he was expecting his father to be like, but what he was like was, he was out welcoming with open arms and throwing a party. But the bit I want to talk about mostly this morning, you'll find it in Luke 15 if you want to read the whole thing again, Luke chapter 15. But right at the end of the account, the elder son, we often tend to forget about, but he was in a state, he felt peeved. And he was saying to his father, all these years I've been here working for you. And you never threw a party for me. I've never had a party with all my friends. And that was how he was. But wonderfully, like you're reading the words up here now, God said to him, dear son, you have always stayed by me and everything I have is yours. And those were the words that God alerted me to. Just dropped into my spirit, into my mind. He just dropped them in. You have always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. Isn't that lovely? That is so kind of God. He is so kind. I was just having this little time of thinking I was losing something of myself somewhere, something that was an expression of who I was. And God said, no. Everything I have is you. And, you've always stayed with me, and everything I have is yours. How kind you are, Lord. How kind you are. And coming on the back of that, reminding me of when you're born again, you just had it all. You had it all. The whole kingdom of heaven opened up to you. This last 40 years, I keep having to repeat that because I have to wake myself up with it sometimes. 40 years and counting. So we are going to pray, of course, and I said we'd go back to the sinner's prayer, and we will. So I just believe God wants me to share a couple of things before that. It just reminded me of things just into my spirit. He reminded me of this, and it just caused me to think of some of the knots. Angela had a word when she spoke the other week, knots in a piece of rope, and to undo the rope, undo the knots, to lengthen the rope. And God was saying, you've got some knots maybe to undo. If you've never really prayed this prayer and know that kingdom of heaven fully open up to you, if your heart has never really done that and you want to know Jesus and you want to know the kingdom of heaven, we need to have these knots undone. And some of us who have been Christians maybe for a while, we may be concerned about our families. That can be a bit of a thing that holds us up. We think, well, it's okay for me, God. I'm in this kingdom of heaven, I'm doing good. what about my family? And maybe you're holding something against God because your family's, you know, not responding. God doesn't seem to be doing anything to zap your family like you want him to. Well, I have to tell you, God's justice is perfect.
Yeah, that's true.
He won't make any mistakes, any mistakes. You've just got to believe and trust in him. That he knows what he's doing. He knows the right time for everybody and everyone. And he loves everybody. He loves your family more than you do, and that's difficult to believe at times, but he does. And so he's working on their behalf, no matter what. So you just, it's just needing to believe and trust in him about that, and not let it be a stumbling block to you. And I was also reminded of some of the accounts in Matthew's Gospel of Jesus. He was encountering the people as he was going forward, heading for his crucifixion. He had these lots of encounters with people, but mostly with the priests and teachers and elders of the day, and seeing how they all insisted on holding their positions, their opinions. And they did so right to the end. Right until Jesus went to the cross, they were holding their own opinions about what they thought and what about the Messiah and who he was and how Jesus couldn't be the Messiah. They just held those opinions right to the end. And they were set to miss out on the very greatest time to come in the history of the world. Then and now. They were set to miss out. We don't want to miss out on that greatest day in history, as we sing. Teresa leads in that wonderful song. So we are going to pray. I'm going to pray the sinner's prayer, the prayer I prayed. Very simple, it's not very long. 40 years ago, and I can remember it very, very clearly. I can remember praying it. I can pray it one night. And then no bells and whistles, so I went and prayed it again the next night in case I'd done something wrong. But I knew, like I've said already, I knew that God had come into my life, that he'd taken me. And I believe the reason for that was that he had my heart. I wanted him, I wanted to know who this Jesus was in truth. I'd had enough of religion. Yeah. And I was out of here, I was out of the church, really. If I didn't come to understand, I couldn't go through that religious observance anymore, because there had to be more to it than that. Good people and lovely people as I was with in the church, some of them lovely Christians, but I wasn't going to be there anymore. I was off, and eventually I was off into King's Church, which was wonderful. So don't hold on to your own opinions. You know, trust and obey. And this prayer needs to come. Not just words. Dave will get up. He gets up all the time. And he says, it's not just about a prayer. And I thought, I don't want to drive him hatchy this morning. So I have to explain that this prayer is not just about getting up this morning and saying some words and hoping for the best. It is not about that at all. It's about realising that you need this kingdom of heaven opening to you in all its fullness. The kingdom of heaven we've been singing about wonderfully this morning. Kingdom of heaven I've tried to give some testimony to for this 40 years that God has been in my life. And still leading me on, still encouraging me. And so, if you know, it has to be from your heart. You have to have as much sincerity as you can summon up. And that's all I did, because I knew nothing. I didn't know much at all that night. I'd done this course and I thought, well, there's obviously more to Jesus. But I didn't know a great deal. I hadn't read much scripture. I didn't know. I knew Jesus was the God of miracles. I believed that. I believed he died for the sins of the world, that we were always saying in the service. Jesus died for the sins of the world. Well, he did. But I needed to know that he died for my sin. Yeah. I needed to know I was a sinner and he died for my sin. And so that's where I came to that night, with as much, like I say, as much sincerity as I could summon up. And the Holy Spirit is wonderful. Jesus is just so wonderful when you come to him. He won't ignore you. He'll come. He will come. If you've never had that experience, and you'll know this morning, if you've had that experience of having your life changed forever, you'll know when it was. You'll know when it was. There have been layers of it since, possibly, but you'll know when that journey began and you were changed. I believe that's true for everybody. I really do. I believe there was a time when you knew that things had changed for you and you were never going to be the same again. And people could see that. People could see that. Howard, bless him. He had a lot to put up with. But, you know, he could see it, and it caused him to think, well, I'll have to start this out for myself. Because he could see there was power in it. It'd done something to me. So, hallelujah. So with all that in mind, we're going to stand, please. Thank you, Lord. Now, as I say, many of you are lovely people I know really well. And I know many of you. This will be your experience as well. You could equally come up here and share this word this morning. It's your experience. And that's wonderful. So when we pray, you don't need to pray again if you've already prayed it. Don't need to keep going back there. But if you feel there's something you've missed somewhere, then please just take a moment in your heart. And I'm going to speak it. I'm not going to ask you to speak it even. And I'll speak it, and it's very short. And if you pray it in your heart and you want more this Jesus, you want to know exactly who he is, you want to give your life to who he is because he's good, then you can pray it this morning. And I would just say, if you do pray it for the first time this morning, then speak to somebody. Tell somebody. Even if it's a friend you've come with, come and talk to me, that'd be lovely. To Dave, to Ange, to any of us, any of the cell group leaders here. Just anyone, a friend you've come with especially. It's good to tell someone. Because it affirms it somewhere.
Yeah.
It affirms it somewhere. And the people will pray for you. So what could be better than that? So let's pray, guys. Lord Jesus, thank you that you died on the cross, shedding your blood so that my sins can be forgiven. My sins can be forgiven, Lord. I ask you to forgive me now for all my sins. And I feel if you need to be specific in this moment, be specific. Something comes into your mind, one of the things I've mentioned, one of the knots, one of the stumbling blocks, just bring it before God and repent. Because repentance is the key. Repentance is the key to forgiveness in God and to taking part in the kingdom of heaven. I ask you now, Lord, please come into my life as my Lord and Saviour and give me your power to know you and live for you. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer and it's fresh to you in some way this morning, share it with somebody. Amen.